I would like to welcome you. Thank you for taking some time to talk to the listeners here at WFMU. You just have so many things going on and are so multi-talented. What's going on with film right now?
Well, currently, we're basically celebrating the release of this new album, and the new album Fire from the Evening Sun, which we released on September 16th. And we're really excited and happy that we finally put this album out. You know, it's taken quite some time, considering that we wrote the music for this album during the recording of our first album, which was released in May of 2012.
How is the music for you then, considering it's taken its time? When you listen to it now with new ears in 2014?
What, from the time that we recorded it in 2014, Fire from the Evening Sun, but we wrote the music.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, yeah, it's taken a while, but we finally got it out. But we think it's a nice evolution that, we've taken since the first album. The songs are a little more concise and straightforward, they're more appealing to your average listener instead of creating music that is avant-garde or improvisational.
And you are such a master of both. Do you prefer one to the other, or do you just sort of be like, this is my avant-garde project, like when you work with John Zorn or whatever?
I love them both, but avant-garde and improvisation is very free. It's very it's not limited. You're not, you're not creating music in a singular format, So it feels really good to perform, improvisation. But then I also like playing songs, that are structured, on stage in a traditional way.
In improvisation, it's not repeated again because it's improvisation.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the beauty of improv is that, you can never capture that again unless you record it. And that's how film likes to create and write music, and that's by improvisations. And then, we record our improvisations, and then we'll just take these little gems, what I call gems, and create a song around those ideas. That's how we create our music. So, I try to utilize that format in songwriting with film.
So you do, you pull the cool parts out, and then you...
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah. So out of an evening, let's say, with film, and we're recording, let's say we record an hour of music, we could probably lift, four or five pieces that have potential to be a song on a future album. And we're really good at improvising, so... A lot of the creativity is always flowing. So that's why we're releasing one album after another, because we're just very productive.
You guys just toured Europe not that long ago.
Yeah, we did, four shows in Europe. We just we also did Bogota, Colombia. We're going to be going to Mexico City in December. And then South America, the end of January, beginning of February. I think we're doing Chile, Argentina. And in Brazil.
You're going to stay away from the cold weather up here, huh?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. At least, yeah, around that. Well, you know what? We might be in Chicago in January.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm joking, obviously, but does weather really factor into, putting together a tour?
I would like. I mean, I prefer not to tour, Florida in the hurricane season,
Right, right.
Never know what's going to happen. I don't like to tour, obviously, in the winter, especially up north, Chicago area, Canada. It's just, it's risky. Snowstorm. I remember being on tour with Slayer, and I was driving a Camaro with two other members of the band in a roadie. While the other members were in a U-Haul truck, and we were traveling across country. I mean, this was like 1983 or 84. And I was driving Tom's car, and we spun out, in Montana or up in Canada somewhere, I forget.
Wow.
And we spun out, hit a ditch. Luckily, we're all okay, but it was scary.
It certainly awakens you, and you sort of reevaluate things very quickly when that happens.
Oh, yeah.
So the film gig in Chicago, was that just a fly-in?
I believe so. I mean, we're trying to book other shows around it, but, we still don't know what's going to happen.
Okay. And are you still involved with Fantomas?
Yes. Actually, we're doing a show in South America.
In Chile.
Actually,
yeah.
Rockfest in Chile on December 6th. And I think there's a show on December 5th at a club somewhere. So I don't know. I'm not too sure.
Mm. And the Fantomas has that Wunder Kammer box set.
Wunder Kammer, which is a box set of vinyl of all the records that Fantomas has recorded. And including a cassette tape, a copy of what Patton sent Trevor, Buzz, and myself, kind of like, you know, hey, check out this music that I'm putting together, you know.
Like the introduction.
Cool. It's like an introduction, yeah.
Is that how that happened? Like you knew each other and he sent you a cassette and you just decided to...
He we talked on the phone and he gave me an idea of the direction of the music. And of course, the music's very complex. And he had to kind of give me an understanding of what he was thinking. And he sent me the tape. And sure enough, it was definitely something that I was interested in, which, you know, I think we released 5 albums together.
Well, I mean,
who knows what the future will bring?
Well, with your scope, it seems like you're interested in everything. I mean,
I enjoy the arts, period. I don't have any interest in sports. Sports doesn't take any of my time.
Right. And I don't see sports as creative.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
So what's left for me is dabbling not only in the arts, but, you know, in music and, you know, in staying creative.
How do you motivate yourself to do that?
Coffee. No, the satisfaction of playing on stage. I love being on stage, and I love being in a studio. I love being creative. I love listening. So all these factor into my motivation. You know, every day I wake up, you know, excited. Okay, what can I do? You know, let me wrap this up. You know, of course. You know, my day is also filled with other things, you know, interviews, you got to take care of business. There's other issues involved in daily life, you know, but you try to do as much music as you can and absorb as much as you can. That kind of keeps me motivated.
Do you love your life?
Yes, I do. It's been amazing being a part of such an amazing band like Slayer. You know, the fans that support me. And the musicians I've been able to collaborate with, I couldn't be any happier.
So I need to ask you about the Cremaster 2.
Oh, man, yeah.
Controlling bees with drums. What was really going on there?
I mean, a funny story. We were in a recording studio, and there were several different studios. I'd say Studio 1, 2, and 3, and we were in number 1. There was another session going on in Studio 2. So the beekeeper comes in, you know, the camera crew is warned and told to wear protective clothing and don't swat at the bees because they would take that as aggression and they will attack. And I'm sitting there, I'm the one filming, you know, being filmed, and I'm in a tank top. All these bees are flying around, and I'm wondering, how is the bee going to know that I'm playing drums?
And not
swatting at them. Well, it turns out I didn't get stung. But some guy in Studio B, the second studio, you know, he got stung. He got stung into the neck by a bee that went in through the vent. that was an amazing day and an amazing experience to work with Matthew Barney, Jonathan Bebler.
So that was one day. How long was the whole experience?
Probably 6-8 hours.
Visually, it's just really brutal.
So, yeah, it was done really well. You know, taking the sounds that the bees made and recreating
and
a song out of, you know, those sounds. You know, that was really creative at the time. I really enjoyed that. Jonathan Bebler was the music director for that. And he was really, really, really cool to work with.
From a technical perspective, I just want to ask you about your gear a little bit. A couple of years ago, you started using Ludwig instead of Tama.
Yes.
Well, first of all, why was that shift? And then I did want to ask you, like, how your kit has changed from, like, you know, the early, I mean, obviously not like your first little kid kit, but in terms of like your first public kit, like maybe the first kit you play with Slayer, like, you know, are your head angles different now? What's really fun, really different about your kit in terms of just your prowess as a drummer and the gear that you like?
Well, I mean, in the early days, I mean, I started like the first Slayer shows, I started with the drum set that my dad had, you know, let me borrow the money to, you know, to purchase. I obviously had to pay him back. You know, it was a Tama and Paiste cymbal package, you know, where you get the drum set and the cymbals together.
So it was like typical five piece?
No, actually, I think it was seven piece. It was a seven piece, four toms and one bass drum, one floor tom and a snare. I used that all the way up until 1985 when I got picked up by Tama. And at that point I started, you know, two floor toms. You know, the first drum kit that they gave me was two floor toms, four rack toms, two bass drums, and a snare. And then as time went on, I noticed that I was able to get whatever I wanted from the company, not just your standard drum set. And I went for the really big bass drums, 24 by 18 inch deep. My rack toms ranged from, well, let me start with the floor toms, were 18 and 20 inch floor toms.
Wow.
So my floor tom, my biggest floor tom was the size of most guys' bass drums.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, and then it started from highest to low. I had a 16 inch tom-tom mounted. So it was 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 10, and 8. And then I realized, you know what, that's just too much. So I started scaling it down. You know, the drums got a little smaller. I still loved my 18 and 20 inch floor tom. That was for me signature. And the 24 inch kick drums. But then I dropped the sizes down on the toms to 15 inch. So going from right to left, if you're sitting mm-hmm. behind the drum set, 15, 14, 13, 12, 10, and 8. And then around World Painted Blood, which was probably 2008, 2009, I eliminated the highest the lowest tom-tom, which was a 15, and I shifted my ride cymbal to emulate kind of a four-piece drum set. So the right side of my Slayer drum kit was a four-piece. You know, it resembled a four-piece. So I would have that four-piece. That was the focus. So I shifted my focus to double bass to the four-piece visualization and then adding all the other drums. And with film, I've switched everything to only a four-piece. So it was kind of a slow transition, and, you know, but it's been great because I've recorded two albums with film mm-hmm. on a single bass. And the third one, which we anticipate releasing in April or May next year, 2015, that's going to be the first film album with double bass.
And you prefer the two bass drums as opposed to the double beater on one.
Yeah, I really don't like that. I just don't get the speed or the volume that that I like on my other one. What it's done, it's helped me focus and create new drum beats and new rhythms with only the one bass drum. So, yeah, no, it's kind of helped me instead of, you know, making me feel uneasy or anything. And then now with adding the other bass drum to the song, the double bass comes in places they wouldn't normally be heard. So I've been able to kind of to recreate my double bass ability by eliminating the other bass drum for a period of time.
And out of all your musical experiences, all the one-offs, all the collaborations, all the regular bands that you've been in, which one would you say fulfilled you most on a level of humanness, like being comfortable with people?
Being comfortable with people? I think what group you're asking?
Yeah.
What band?
Yeah.
Or project? Phantomus was like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, working with John Zorn was effortless. With film, it's effortless. Yeah, I mean, Testament, we had a great time.
Ah.
You know, that was effortless, too.
Mm, awesome. Who would your dream collaboration be with? Like, is there somebody out there that you really admire that you would love to make music with?
Oh, there's many.
Well, name
there's
a
many
couple.
Musicians. Jack White's amazing. He's an amazing guitar player. Trent Reznor is an amazing artist. But, you know, I'm actually working with people now that I really admire. You know, for example, Mike Patton. He's an amazing composer.
Yes.
As well as John Zorn, Bill Laswell, and the musicians I've met along the way. are very, you know, I look up to. You know, some of the composers that I've been, you know, working recently with are amazing. Christopher Young, he's written music for Nightmare on Elm Street, Ghost Rider, Hellraiser, and I worked with him recently, and that was, you know, phenomenal. Tyler Bates, who does music with for Californication and Watchmen and 300, you know, I look up to him, and you know, and I'm very lucky and fortunate to work with him and know him, and have him as a friend. So, you know, so it's great.
I hear you saying that there's nowhere to get to, like that you're really satisfied with who you're surrounded by now and who you're working with.
Yeah, and you know, of course, there's many musicians out there I would love to work with, but you know, it's not something that I, you know, sit and
so you don't have like so you don't have like the list and you're like checking it off or anything.
Oh no, no, oh, absolutely not.
Good.
No,
good.
Things as things come, you know, I work on them. So.
What music would you listen to, like when you're doing physical work, like if you've got to clean out your garage, like what are you going to put on and listen to?
I put my iPod on shuffle and just listen to it that way. There's too many different genres or a particular group to pick where I get frustrated. I'll sit there and go through the entire thing and say, I'll give up and say, I don't know what I want to listen to, you know. So I just put it on shuffle and just let it go.
Okay. What do you want listeners to know about you that they may not know?
They pretty much know everything. I've been open and honest, you know, with my public, and you know, they know how diverse, you know, music I am, and you know, they know I probably that I ride skateboard. You know, they know I enjoy. I don't enjoy ball sports, but I enjoy motorsports. You know.
Oh wow.
Yeah, you know, anything that has to do with wheels and going fast, that's for me.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, chasing a ball just doesn't appeal, unless I'm doing it, you know, like going out and playing, you know, football or soccer or something, but to watch it, no. So. Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Thank you for your time, and I do want to thank you just for your innovation and the giant leap forward that I think drumming took post Angel of Death, and what you presented to the world there hadn't been done before. So
awesome. Made a thank you. And I'm still trying to give more
to
the public.
You know, and the public does really appreciate that. You just made such a huge impact on heavy music and drumming and music in general.
Cool. Thank you.
Enjoy your day, sir.
Thank you.
Thank
Likewise.
You. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.